Like every Monday night, you're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw.
Enjoy as Don, Tony, and Mish spill the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw.
Breakfast Soup Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Don, Tony.
This guy wearing the Becky Lynch glasses.
Yeah, man. Celebrating.
Oh, man, that hurt. I burned my finger earlier today. I just clapped my hands. That's good, man. Good evening, everybody. It is Monday night, March 21st, 2022. Breakfast Soup Raw is back. We are, less than 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. More importantly, less than a week away from my birthday.
That's right.
I didn't even think about it. Next Sunday is my birthday. Are we going to do a sit-down episode anyway? You know, we'll see. To be determined. I am Don Tony, and he is...
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on, DT?
Nah, not much. Let me tell you something, man. I enjoyed... Tonight's Raw immensely. I mean, it had a couple of moments. It always does. But you know what I love the most tonight? Other than Pat McAfee, you know, for which we'll get into in a little bit. But we were in Chicago, Illinois, Mish. Very, very lively crowd, which is what we usually get in Chicago for pro wrestling on television. And you know there was not one... audible CM Punk chant the entire night. What does that tell you?
There was a few honestly. There was definitely a few Cody chants tonight. Chicago was really hot tonight, probably in part due to the fact that we're going into WrestleMania, and probably in part the fact that it was 74 degrees here. It was gorgeous.
Oh, nice.
Yes. It was a beautiful day to go out. It was a beautiful day to go to Rosemont. To go to the Allstate Arena. I imagine a lot of people are filling up the Hooters right now as we speak. overall, there was some fun stuff tonight, and there was a lot of toenail stuff tonight, too. So,
what was good was very good, and what was bad was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But
well, you know, I'm curious. So, I mean, we could talk about right off the top of, you know, what the good parts were, but... what did you think was one of the low parts of the evening?
I don't know. This chicken fights, tornado tag match.
That was awful.
that was just awful. I could tell you my favorite part of the night. Besides the opening, I know we only had it for 6 or 7 minutes tonight, but yeah. We had Pat McAfee and Corey Graves on commentary together. And that's something that we don't ever really get. I always envision that one pay-per-view, maybe Survivor Series, where they decide to have Pat McAfee and Corey Graves, just them two, on the mic. I know neither one does play-by-play. Maybe you do need a third person. But we got it for about 7 minutes tonight. And I'm still trying to figure out what the hell was this. What the hell was that? I mean, seriously. I mean, I could see the DX chop, but he was just like, I don't know, man. I was laughing my ass off with that.
He was being comical, but yeah, no, he was totally telling him to suck it. You could hear it audibly through other people's microphone pieces. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Pat McAfee is he's definitely a treasure, and seeing him out here on Monday night was really good, too. You know, I like what they're doing with him in theory. Once again, I'm still a fan of the idea of him and Corey eventually going at it. Though they did show a little bit of friction tonight. And I was like, seeds, my friends, seeds. So,
well, remember, everyone, Mish said 2 weeks ago that, you know, the ideal match should have been Pat McAfee versus Corey Graves. Excellent point. And will we possibly get that down the line? You know what I'm thinking?
Dude, and I hate to like try and Mr. Dama some of this shit, but wouldn't it be interesting if Austin Theory and Pat McAfee goes on And Corey Graves somehow gets involved for Vince McMahon, for Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I did not even think of that. In a perfect world, if Corey is thinking about or does return to the ring, I know this sounds a little ways away, but I know the perfect event, Survivor Series, because you have Raw versus SmackDown already. Why not have a Raw commentator versus a SmackDown commentator? Have Pat McAfee versus Corey Graves on Survivor Series.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. That'd be pretty neat. I'm down with that.
It's a book good it. Idea. Book it, WWE.
Book it, Vince.
Yeah. Cheap plug tomorrow. If anybody that is interested, we will be doing the NXT watch party. If you're a channel member or a patron, you already have the link. If anyone else wants to be invited, just DM me on Twitter at DonTonyD. Or email me, dontony@dontony.com. Do it within 30 minutes of showtime because, you know, then I have to set up the room. And sometimes people contact me 5 minutes before and it's too late. And unfortunately, there's several of you out there who signed up 2 weeks ago but never attended a watch party. Your invites will have to be given to someone else. So if anybody says, DT, how come I don't have access? Well, because you signed up and never showed up. So your seat does not remain, you know, if you don't participate. So, all right. We got a few things to get into tonight. We're going to blaze through Raw, except for a couple of important moments. Yes, we'll talk about Rollins. Yes, we'll talk about Becky and a few big highlights from tonight. There's some interesting vibes, I think it's probably the right way to put it, going on right now on the net about The Undertaker. Now, I personally think, and I know this is going to sound a little wacky, but I personally think because The Undertaker technically is a Republican, is for Second Amendment rights and, you know some of his views. We don't need to go there, but there's a lot of angst amongst a large group of people out there who do not agree with those same views. Some of them think he was a Trump supporter. Some of them think this. Look, I don't care about the politics. But with that said, I think that there is an audience out there that tries to find an excuse to go after The Undertaker unprovoked. What I mean by that is, you know, The Undertaker, one of the greatest of all time, legend, Hall of Famer, I mean, icon, you know, Mount Rushmore for a lot of people inside wrestling and out. So in order to really trash The Undertaker on the net without having a mob mentality going after you in return, you almost wait for The Undertaker to say something or do something as a way, okay, let's attack the guy. Did you read or see his comments on the True Jordy, G-E-O-R-D-I-E? I never heard of him before, but True Jordy podcast.
I read some of the comments that he made about the product. I know that there was other comments about his emotions during the Hall of Fame, that he's concerned about them, which is fair, but you're a damn human being. It's okay to let him out, you know? But I assume that you're actually talking more about his comments about the grittiness of the direction of WWE and how he wishes it was a little bit more, I think, a little bit more adult friendly.
Well, he's talking about pro wrestling in general. It wasn't just WWE. It was a general statement. And yes, it seemed to piss off AEW fans more than WWE fans. But I have the quote here. If you don't mind, I'd like to share it with everyone.
Yeah, no.
And there's a wild response going on right now online. Anyway, about the what he feels is a big problem about today's wrestling, Undertaker says, and I quote, "I feel there is a level of grit that is missing from today's product. I don't know that it's anybody's fault. We all aged out, and that new group has come up. When you watch Brock Lesnar wrestle, you're interested because you know he's got this background, not only as an amateur wrestler, professional wrestler, mixed martial artist. Brock doesn't do a bunch of crazy moves. Brock manhandles your ass. You get in there, you get thrown around, and you get smashed. You know, and Roman Reigns has a little bit of that to him. And when he wants to, Randy Orton has that to him. And when he wants to, but a lot of the younger talent, it's that the evolution of that comic book era, the superhero era. And I think that's their motivation. And that's what their inspiration is. And they didn't have to come up and bust heads in the bars and figure out they were going to eat, how they were going to eat, and things like that. And that is what the last part, I think, is what really got people going, that in order to really be like one of the guys today, like, you have to go through the streets. You have to sleep in your car. You have to have fights and go through rabid fans. And a lot of the wrestlers of today are coddled. Superheroes following that path, comic book heroes, Twitter heroes, social media icons. Like, they did not grow up what it was like to only have enough money to buy a can of tuna fish, that if you don't have a little bit of money, you could go online and, hey, you know, see, GoFundMe, you know, or right. OnlyFans. And I'm not ripping any of that. I praise the shit about Tony Storm and anybody else that makes their money. Good for you. You offer it. People want to buy it. I don't care what it is. You and I debate. I even show a lot of love to Conrad Thompson. You know, mm-hmm. Podcast Row. I mean, I know we debated on that, but for me, it's like, hey, if you throw the money and people want to pay it, yeah, it might be a little messed up. You might be manipulating people or giving to, but at the end of the day, you know, The Undertaker is saying that a lot of the people today don't know what it's like to scrape and claw and fight this. How do you feel about what Undertaker said? Because I'll be honest with you. I agree with what he said, but not as a broad brush across the entire pro wrestling world. There are some tough son of a bitches today.
Right, but there's circumstances. Like you just said, I mean, there's certain aspects that this doesn't appeal to. His statement doesn't appeal to pro wrestling podcasters. His statement doesn't apply to arena hot dog salespeople. You know, he's talking specifically about the talent. So if people are taking it in a broader stroke outside of that, then you're not really hearing what he has to say. Now, the idea that some of these guys aren't broken into the business the same way as the old school ones are, sure, he's right. He's not wrong at all. That's how a lot of people are now. I mean, WWE even has a program, the NIL program. They actually have a guy. Oh, my gosh. I forgot what his name is already. I'm so sorry. But he even tweeted, I'll see you at WrestleMania. He just won an NCAA. What?
Gable Stevenson.
Right. And here's another guy that's coming up in a completely different way. He's not a guy who was raised in shindies. He's not a guy who's like, you know, busting his ass while eating a can of tuna fish and some Funyuns. Like, this is a guy who was bred as an athlete, went to college as a legitimate athlete. He is growing into WWE as a part of WWE's investment in him. And they have other investments. It's a different way things are being done. Now, as far as who do people prefer down the road, I think it depends. I think there are certain things that are beneficial to the people that come up the old school way, the ones that come up from different dungeons getting stretched, the ones that come up learning their promo by cutting it in front of 20 people on the road 180 days a year. I think there's a benefit to those people that they learn the hard way, and it gives them different skills versus an athlete. I mean, this is literally Rocky IV, right? You have athletes that look like Ivan Drago that are designed from the ground up to be these perfect monsters, these perfect machines. And then you have the Rocky Balboas of wrestling that are literally cutting their gums and their teeth inside little boxing gyms and halls all across the U.S. So it's a different dynamic for both. So I don't necessarily say he's wrong, but the business is different now than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think where the crossover does apply is when sometimes wrestlers get released. I think that shows you, you look at Cross, you look at Cardona, you look at some wrestlers that you see when diversity strikes and you lose a job, in an important one, a big, nice paying one, and you see who rests on their laurels and who goes out and tries to reinvent themselves and tries, I mean, almost to the point of obsession. That's why I threw Cardona's name in there. Because this guy, I mean, whether people like him or not, this guy made a concerted effort, like, I'm going to show everyone that I'm not this just internet woo-woo-woo bullshit. Right, and he is hungry. You know, I think that's what I think it is with Undertaker. The fire, the hunger, you know, that's the real hardcore that you'll drive for 16 hours for $20, you know, hunger. I think that may be where he is leaning towards it, because so much is coddled today that kind of bleeds into wrestling. You know, I'm saying this to take a shot at Keith Lee.
So let me just throw this out here. You're not going to be able to repeat those eras.
No one's saying that. But hear
me out. You're not going to be able to repeat guys like Ric Flair. You're not going to be able to repeat guys like Roddy Piper. You're not going to be able to repeat Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, or the Road Warriors, or early Sting. Or you're not going to be able to repeat these guys, because it's not just a matter of them being on the road. It's not just a matter of them, you know, doing things the hard way. It's the fact that their lives were harder, too. Yeah. Like, their family lives were different. Like, their comeuppance was completely different than anything that I think a lot of people are dealing with today. Like, do you see what I'm saying? I think
what's missing is the chip on the shoulder. I think that might be the best way to summarize it. I was going to say about Keith Lee. You know, a lot of people feel like Keith Lee needs to have a little bit more anger and passion and not be so smooth. But, you know, I see him in AEW, and although they're not using him all that spectacular, you feel like there's a little bit of a chip on the shoulder. Like, you can tell with wrestlers, especially the ones released, you kind of get a good vibe who has a chip on their shoulder. Some wrestlers who are in the indie scene who feel they should be signed to a major company, you could feel the chip on their shoulder. I think maybe if more wrestlers had that chip on their shoulder, it might lead. I mean, look, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, they signed multi-million dollar deals. And I think you'll agree, and I think everybody will agree, that something changed with those two guys in the last bunch of months. Not saying they were great performers before, but many times we said, you know, Kevin Owens, you know, even little things that he would just pick up on, and like people would question, like, why would he do this? Why would he say this? Oh, you know, like you're getting really intricate to detail. Sami Zayn, like, and yes, it was the new contract, the money, but you see, that led to even more incentive, more drive. I need it more. I got it more. I want more. I want it. And I think that chip for a lot of wrestlers may be missing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with that. I think that chip is missing.
Well, I definitely recommend, if anybody wants to, go check out the True Georgie podcast. Actually, you know what I'll do? When I finish the show later, when I go like this, there'll be a link that'll pop up. So this way you can go check it out. It's a pretty good interview. I saw it earlier today. All right. Let's talk about two rumored WrestleMania noteworthy items. One is a rumored match, and the other one is the placement of an existing match. I guess we could get into the lesser of the two right off the bat. I don't know if this man is cleared. I haven't heard anything about him being cleared. You and I had this conversation a couple of months ago that just because they say 4 months doesn't mean 4 months is 4 months. But word going around quite a few outlets is that Omos's WrestleMania opponent, if he's cleared, will be Bobby Lashley. Your thoughts?
That would be amazing.
Honestly, I know why you said that. And we did not rehearse. Tell everybody.
Well, I'd like to see him as part of the new Hurt Business. I'd like to see him in part with MVP. Dude, this makes me happy on multiple levels because it tells me that maybe MVP isn't going to step back into the ring. Remember when that was talked about where he brought that up a couple weeks ago and he's like, you know, I don't want to manage anymore. I'm interested in getting it one last run. And I'm like, why would you do that? You're doing such a fantastic job.
Let me stop you for a second. Chris L, do you go on Jason's podcast and say, yeah, Mission DT talked about that? Did you go on his podcast and say that 2 months ago, we said week after week after week, that Cody was not going to appear on Raw until maybe around WrestleMania or maybe the Raw after Mania? Did we also say multiple times that Veer wouldn't be surprised if they have him debut after WrestleMania, the night after WrestleMania? Please, I know you're a good guy and everything, but all I'm saying is that don't throw in, this podcaster said this a month ago. Well, good for them. I'm not throwing shade on Jason, but please, because there is 1,000 things that we say on this show that never, ever get thrown on another podcast. So I this is not against Jason. I don't give a shit what other people say. We talk about ideas here. So please, that's why I take super chats off sometimes too. You know, because no. Because if we're going to start playing that game, I'll start doing that shit every single week. I'll start throwing in people's faces every single week. Oh, yeah, we said this 2 months ago. I said on 9 different shows that Cody was not going to be appearing on Raw, that it's not going to happen until Mania. 9 different shows. Everybody else was clickbaiting. Everybody is putting on their banners, putting Bray Wyatt, Wyndham at Dynamite. Oh, he's going to be on Dynamite. Johnny Gargano when they were in Cleveland. Everybody throws that shit on there. They get hits and views, and it ends up not being true. And Mish and I have a conversation, and he brings up a good idea a few weeks ago. And because we're bringing it up now and a little excited about it, oh, well, someone else. I don't give a shit when people say it. I don't. You know what? Smart on him. That is a very intelligent comment. But I don't give a fuck who says what or when or how or why or where. This is our show, and we have the conversations here, and that's all I care about. Sorry for singling you out, but shit like that, nah. Sorry about that, Mish. I just hate that we have some fun. Somebody did it 2 weeks ago. Oh, well, Gabby LaPisa, whatever her name is, she said Corey. Fuck that shit. Oh, Gabby said it 3 weeks ago. I don't give a fuck.
How many? Yeah. I mean,
pisses me off, man. Happen, don't start bringing back old school DT because people ain't going to like that shit. So it's don't do that. If you don't do it on their shows, don't do it here. But anyway, I love what you said about the idea that you've been saying it for a long time now. You've been saying it for actually about 11 months that Omos needs a manager. Omos needs a mic in front of him. And Omos, you know, he gets passionate. You know, he sounds okay, but it's almost Ahmed Johnson territory. So yeah. I love your idea.
I did good tonight. You know what? I really did like Omos out there. Once again, they focused on his solids as opposed to his strengths, as opposed to his weaknesses. I thought he looked good out there. And I thought it was kind of funny, though, that he was throwing General Adnan Part 2 around like he was. I thought for the most part, Aziz should have been a little bit more combative.
Yeah.
He's not a small guy. But
he looks scared. Really,
yeah, dude, they sold Omos really well. So Omos just clubbing the shit out of Cruz and clubbing down Aziz really looked good. And I mean, just the way he was just powerful, undefeated. And he's like, you know, nobody can face me. I'm the strongest, you know. I'm like, dude, this is good. The only thing he needs now is a mouthpiece.
I like Benjamin's comment right here. Can I pull it up? I think I can. I know I can. Come on, talk to me. Maybe I can't. Oh, Benjamin, there we go. Why not graduate Malcolm Bivens to the main roster? I mean, Diamond Mind, I mean, that really doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And it's unique. Give Omos to Bivens. I kind of like that idea. Not the same.
Yeah, MVP's got swagger. Omos needs somebody that's got a little bit of balls. MVP is a better suited candidate, in my opinion, than Jeremy Bivens. Jeremy Bivens is a gnat. And you know what? It might work on the comedy level. I don't want to see it, though. I want Omos to be taken as a serious contender. I don't want him to be Great Khali 2.0.
Yeah.
I don't want him to go out there doing kiss cams and stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
I want Omos to continue to be terrifying. I think that's his best look, and he does a good job of it. Once again, as he's learning, he's a young talent still, DT. This guy has still got plenty of time to learn and get better for his size. Because I know there's going to be a lot of comments, not just here, but everywhere, that people are just like, oh, Omos, he's not very good in the ring. He doesn't move very fast. Like, I think people's expectations of what big guys should be able to do are a little unrealistic because they're so used to seeing such small guys flying around the ring. They don't realize that you got a 7'3" plus guy in the ring, 400 pounds, right? What do you want him to do? Planches? Want him to do suicida tope? Like, no, you don't want that for this guy. You want him to go out there and club people. You want him to yell. You want him to scream. You want him to just use his ham hock fists and just batter people. It should be so simple with a match like Omos because you don't need all the flying over the top. You don't need the crazy submissions. You don't need any kind of like daredevil moves unless you're the opponent. But as far as Omos goes, man, blue chipper all the way.
Yeah.
He just needs more direction.
Yeah. Another rumor going around. Somebody had asked this on Saturday. I gave my original thoughts on it. And then after the show, a few people directed it to me that guy Kermit on Reddit that has broken a lot of stuff in the past WWE related, he's the one that originally put it out there about this. So I'm very curious how you feel about it. WWE, as of right now, has penciled in that WrestleMania 38 Night 1 will go off the air with Steve Austin on the Kevin Owens show. Now, when I said this on Saturday, my initial thoughts was I don't like it because really? I don't mind nostalgia. I love nostalgia. I know he will get a crazy pop in Dallas, Texas. I know that they will knock it out of the park, whatever they do. But what I said Saturday is that somebody should go off the air having their WrestleMania moment that is currently on the roster now, you know. But then I started thinking about it the last 2 days. You know, even though he may not be on the top rope or the middle rope going off the air, but it's Kevin Owens' WrestleMania moment.
Oh, absolutely.
Too. So now I'm saying to myself, you know what? I'm not against it at all. I mean, Bianca wins the championship. That's a WrestleMania moment. If Charlotte gets her ass kicked, that's Ronda's WrestleMania moment. Doesn't have to go off the air for it not to be a WrestleMania moment.
Right.
More I think about it, the more I like it. What do you think about it?
Yeah, no, I've been on board since they even teased the idea of Owens versus Austin. I thought it was amazing that Owens had gotten this opportunity, that Steve was willing to work with him. And the fact that the rumor is that it's going to close out the show makes perfect sense. It doesn't matter. You know what it is, too? And I hate to say it like this because I'm not predicting a bad night, because you don't ever want to do that. But it doesn't matter what match goes on before. It doesn't matter how good or how awful it is. It doesn't even matter if the night is kind of blah. That last moment with Steve Austin and Kevin Owens will erase any bad from the night. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's a smart move because the only thing, I mean, people will remember the entire evening, but the only thing that they'll feel is the last thing that they saw. And the last thing that they see is Stone Cold stunning the shit out of Kevin Owens in fucking in Texas. It's smart. It's totally smart.
And in a way, since WrestleMania is two nights, I guess, you know, after night one is over, it's technically a 24-hour intermission or 22-hour intermission. So you have Austin go off the air for night one. Now we're in intermission for 20 hours, and we can pick it up on Sunday night. I like it. Not saying that, you know, it should without a doubt, but if they go that route, I'm perfectly fine with it. I still think we may see Booker T and JBL, and who is the other person he referenced also?
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels. We may see appearances from those three as well. So we'll see. We will see.
You might be right. And then you have all four of those guys in Texas kicking the crap out of Owens.
Yeah.
You know, like, it really could be a big moment to close out the show.
You know, it's interesting. You know, we'll talk about Seth in a few minutes. Or maybe we could segue to Seth right now. You know, Seth Rollins obviously doesn't have a Mania match yet. He will have a Mania match. And, you know, obviously everything points to Cody Rhodes. So I'll explain where I'm going with this. On Raw tonight, the story involving Seth Rollins is that Seth Rollins did not have a match at Mania. Seth Rollins came up with an idea, and Seth Rollins confronted AJ Styles, who had come out to cut a promo on Edge. And Seth Rollins is telling AJ Styles, go home, spend WrestleMania with your family. I need this. And AJ Styles obviously wants none of it. So we end up getting a match set up tonight, which we all knew the obvious outcome to it. It was going to be what they were labeling Seth Rollins' last chance, his last WrestleMania chance. He faces AJ Styles tonight. If he wins, he faces Edge, which, you know, they do have history, but, you know, we all knew that Seth Rollins was not winning tonight. So that kind of like spoiled the outcome. Although the match was, no pun intended, phenomenal.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening is towards the end of the match, you know, Seth Rollins has the upper hand and Edge shows up and whacks AJ Styles with the chair, causing disqualification. Now, I thought it was stupid that Seth Rollins, when he flipped out because of the disqualification, why did he, in storyline, did he not go up the ramp to attack Edge for ruining his chance at WrestleMania? Instead, he took it out on the announcers' tables. He did the Bret Hart from 1997. This is bullshit. You know, he that same Bret Hart moment when Bret was pissed off, he starts ripping shit apart, and Raw's not going to happen next week until he gets what he wants. So what I think is going to happen next week is I think Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville are going to tell Seth Rollins that he will have a match at WrestleMania, but it'll be an opponent of their choosing. I don't know if they will announce Cody beforehand. Maybe they show him on the Titantron. I think you have to put in the marquee lights, even if it's only for 48 hours or, you know, 5 days or whatever, that match. But my question to you is, you know, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, even though they faced each other last week, they're still supposedly like buddy-buddy. Why wouldn't Seth Rollins come out at all on night one in defense of Kevin Owens if Austin is beating the crap out of Owens, if JBL and Shawn Michaels and Booker T are doing stuff? Like, does Seth Rollins just disappear for night one? Do you think he maybe makes an appearance?
Maybe he's a night two guy. Look, so first off, you can't talk about the Seth Rollins stuff tonight without addressing the fact that you made it very clear to Chicago that rumors are just rumors, and he lives in the now. He lives in the moment, which I thought was kind of funny because I was not expecting him to even address the fans. But usually where there's CM Punk chants in Chicago, it's been all about Cody Rhodes over the last few weeks, and obviously Chicago let him know that. So I thought that was an important little piece of information, little side note, the fact that he was willing to address it. The second thing, as far as why Seth didn't attack Edge, it's because he already lost his opportunity. He already lost his opportunity. Why is he going to go after Edge and have Edge do anything to screw with his future chances, if there's a future chance, wink, wink, of him having a WrestleMania moment? So it was him just throwing a temper tantrum, which makes sense to the weird Joker character that he's been playing a lot of lately anyways. And then the third part is, why wouldn't Seth go out and help Kevin Owens? The reality is Kevin Owens won that match. They might still be friends, but if Seth ends up standing on the ramp and watching Kevin and ends up watching Kevin Owens get the shit kicked out of him, that might almost be like comeuppance. It might almost be like, oh, okay, well, there you go. That's what you get for screwing me over. So you can answer all of those questions with just simple continuity.
Yeah. Well, next week is the go-home Raw before WrestleMania.
Yes.
And it's going to be really interesting to see how much they reveal before Mania. Obviously, Seth is getting a match. I don't know if Mr. McMahon gets involved in the storyline, but, you know, he's going to get his match. The only question next week is, will they go the route of an opponent of our choosing and the crowd will chant Cody? Or do they actually say, Seth, you'll be taking on this person, and maybe we see him on the screen? I don't think he will be there live next week. You've seen the guessing game that people have been doing for the last 6 weeks horribly. Yeah. But I tell you, this is not a knock on AEW fans. I'm talking about the real hardcore ones. But you saw quite a few people turn against Cody when he left, because most of those people still have not realized that pro wrestling is a business. And wrestlers will leave AEW for WWE, and wrestlers will leave WWE for AEW in the future as well. Wrestlers are going to do what they feel is best for themselves and their family. I saw a report come out today that the Cody money for WWE is similar to what AEW offered. Does anybody out there truly believe that Cody Rhodes or Brandy actually revealed to a news journalist or reporter how much WWE paid them, you know, and try to jeopardize, you know what I mean? Like, does anybody really deep down inside believe that Cody just, you know, text someone, yeah, they gave me what AEW offered me? I think people doing that are doing it to try to minimize, you know, the his worth in AEW. Like, wow, you know, AEW offered him similar money. Remember when I said early on that I felt that if, similar to Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, that whatever WWE offered Cody, if Cody went to Tony Khan, he's like, look, just match it and I'll stay. You know what I mean? At that time, you know, people thought, you know, remember the early reports that Tony Khan felt that Cody's worth wasn't as much as what he thought his worth was? Now they're trying to say that WWE offered Cody AEW money. So if you really stay on that point, that is not good for AEW, Because if that were to be true, and I don't believe it, but if that were to be true, how bad was it in AEW for this guy to pick up and leave like that? Executive vice president.
There's been rumors. There's been shufflings over the last couple of years, actually, that there's issues behind the scenes with different cliques, that there's been issues behind the scenes with the leaders of the AEW locker room. So I wouldn't be surprised if Cody was a part of that. I wouldn't be surprised if Jericho was a part of that. Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks. And I'm sure there's a list of a few more. Tony Khan himself, even, too. And the fact that this is something that's been stated outside of the dirt sheets and by actual wrestlers themselves. I mean, does it really surprise you that somewhere else, even if it's the old, even if it's his old company, will offer him a better paycheck that he wouldn't just take it and not deal with the headache? Maybe WWE doesn't have that headache. I mean, you don't hear about those stories in WWE. You don't hear about people having cliques and do, well, I mean, a little bit, but not to the point where you want to leave the company over it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you wonder.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I will say this. You know, I brought this up before that there's a group of people online that want Cody to be at Mania just so people could say, oh, told you. But I think the fans chanting it want to see the match. And Seth Rollins is one of the most ideal opponents. Now, there's another rumor going around, and I don't put any credence in this yet, unless I hear a WWE announcement. There's another rumor going around that whoever Seth faces, even if it's Cody, the winner of that match will face the unified champion at Backlash. So if Seth were to beat Cody at Mania, that means at Backlash it would be Seth versus Rollins. Seth versus Reigns or Seth versus Brock. If that ends up being, you see, you know what could happen on Monday? It's Raw. It could be similar to CM Punk with his demands for Vince McMahon. You remember when CM Punk got up and left and quit? And then they came back a week later. And then he had these demands for Vince. I want my ice cream bar. I want this. I want that. I want a jet. I want this. So I wonder if next week we get something similar with Seth that, you know, I don't just want a match. I want, if I win that match, I take on the unified champion at Backlash. Seth may have a list of demands next week.
Seth doesn't even have a match to begin with. Do you see what I'm saying? He doesn't have a leg to stand on to make demands of Vince. It would be one thing if he was like a title holder and he was going to hold the title hostage. We've seen that happen before.
Yeah.
But a guy who doesn't have anything, he doesn't have anything. He doesn't have nothing. Yeah. Seth is, he's worthless. He doesn't have a title.
He barely has a tag team partner.
I get it. He's valuable to the fans. But as far as trying to imagine Seth going into Vince's office and telling Vince what's what.
Raw's going to open next week with Seth Rollins coming out. This show's not starting until I get what I want. Next week is going to be fire because not only...
And then somebody comes out and beats his ass.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, Seth gets what he wants. And then we have Brock and Roman with their confrontation next week. And I'm sure Bianca will be back, you know, for a little confrontation. Next week's going to be a fire episode, I think. I think it's going to be really, really fire, you know.
Yeah.
Honestly, are you pumped for WrestleMania? I mean, because I see the total different across the whole spectrum of emotion. I see people online that are really looking forward to Mania. I see people online who are, you know, in the middle, and I see people online calling it the most awful WrestleMania ever.
Those people are weird. Dude, those are the same people that are saying that MJF is a better promo than Stone Cold ever was. It's like, I don't believe that either. Look, I'm in the middle. I think that's fair. I mean, I think technically if you're a good WWE fan or a good fan of WrestleMania, you'll always at least be in the middle. You can absolutely be excited, but you'll always at least be in the middle. There are more than a few matches on this lineup so far that I don't really care about. I'm sorry. But then there are going to be big moments, dude. That Hall of Fame is going to be amazing just because Undertaker. Do you know what I mean? Like, that alone is worth the price of admission.
It's weird.
I am so pumped for that, though.
I know, but it's weird that they only have two other people going in. I mean, this isn't Major League Baseball where only one person or two people go in, no one else. Why? I mean, I understand you want to put most of the focus on Undertaker and there's not a lot of time for speeches, but I feel you either have a regular class of five or six, or you only have a class of one. Like, nothing against Shawn Mel, but doesn't she stand out in a negative way that you're going to have Vader, Undertaker, and Shawn Mel? Is that fair to her?
Yeah, it is. Look, all right, so I guess let me be frank. No pun intended. Charmel's going in there. Booker T is going to be the one putting her in. He's going to be the one inducting her in. It is a moment not just for Charmel, and I know it's important for Charmel, but I think it's a big moment for Booker T as well. Do you know what I'm saying? I think that this moment of having Charmel in the Hall of Fame means more to Booker T than it probably does to Charmel. And I'm not taking anything away from her. You know, I know there's a lot of reasons that there should have been 100 other candidates in there this year than Charmel.
Yeah.
But I think it's more along the lines of a favor. That's just how I feel. Obviously, maybe WWE and the powers that be really feel like Charmel is deserving of this Hall of Fame spot. Maybe that is the case. But when I'm looking at it as a fan, I see favor.
Yeah.
That's what I see. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's their company. It's their Hall of Fame. It's wrestling's Hall of Fame. They feel that she should be in there. It's fine. I don't think it takes away from Vader. And I know it doesn't take away from Undertaker. So people that are upset about it, I mean, this is like getting upset at the opening band. You know, yeah, sure. You're there to see Poppy, who's playing in Chicago and at Park West.
It's almost Wednesday. Like a dinner. Right, Charmel is the salad and Vader is the appetizer and Undertaker is the main course.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Who's going to be the dessert?
Well.
Some somber news. I want to give a shout out to Bob the Builder. I know his name appears in the chat room quite a bit on our shows. He's a big supporter of what we do, and his mom passed away, I believe, today. So we just wanted to send our thoughts and prayers with Bob. So, you know, just hate hearing stuff like that. And I want to give a shout out to someone as well. I saw this about an hour before we went live, and, you know, this is not something that I would want to type in a comment section, but, you know, we got this comment from Nico, who is a loyal supporter of what we do also. And I know this is heavy, but I'm going to read it because he wrote it. Needs a prayer right now. He's battling serious alcohol addiction and depression. Had a serious mental breakdown back in December. Left his job. Never felt right since. And he loved that job. He found out that a girl he had met in rehab passed away a couple of years ago. Not too long after they lost contact, and he's just looking for a prayer because he just wants his addiction and depression to end. Look, there is nothing that we could do on these shows that is going to alleviate your addiction or alleviate your depression. But I will tell you, on behalf of Mish and on behalf of almost everybody tuning in, that in our lifetimes, we have all hit some major rock bottoms. You know, when I had my marriage annulled in 1999, well, really early 2000, Yeah, I saw a psychologist for a little while. I mean, I had a lot of depression. I got sick. Some of you have lost loved ones, very, very close people. I mean, we all at different parts of our lives deal with major adversity. But what you got to do is you got to go out and get some help. It is not embarrassing. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you an inferior person. Seek help. Get that help. Because you may feel that there's no one else out there that you matter to, but you'll be surprised. You become an inspiration for someone else. You become stronger. You become better. You learn. And how you can give back is someone else who ends up being in the same boat as you. And then you could help mentor that person and tell them what you went through and what. Look, everybody handles this differently. There is no one-stop shop answer. I know people mean well on social media, but I think a lot of people out there just type the usual, my thoughts and my prayers are with you, with the folding hands emoji. And then they're like, okay, I made my appearance, you know, and it's almost like I say with funerals. Somebody dies, I don't want to go to the funeral. You don't go. You're the only person that's not going to be, all right, I'll go. And what do? You show up there. You dress in regular street clothes. Oh, I came straight from work because you didn't even want to, like, iron a shirt and put on, like, a suit or something dark. Oh, I came straight from work. I feel bad I didn't get changed. But at the end of the day, you don't even want to be there. But you show, and then you stay there 5 minutes. You say a prayer. You leave. And as soon as you walk out, you're like, oh, fucking thank God that's over with. But guess what? The people who it affected the most, who lost their loved one, in their eyes, you showing up is special. It shows that the person that died mattered. And that's the thing. You know, people lose their battles. That shouldn't bring you down. If you want to honor someone, then keep that person's memory alive and be the strength. Feed off of that. That's the only thing I could say. But you got to keep fighting, man. And nothing wrong with getting help. Nothing wrong with getting help. So I'm sorry for Chris L. earlier, because Chris L. is family. You know, I think that's probably why I felt a little more comfortable to lash out a little bit. But as much as I got passionate about what he said, I get passionate about this as well. Because these shows, I take them personal. I mean, when I say everybody here is family, everybody here is family. I don't just yell in the wind and hope that, you know, a ton of people tune in and watch our shit. I actually do give a shit about everyone. That's why it kind of ticks me off, even on the opposite, when someone, I have a great idea. Oh, why don't we see this match at WrestleMania? And then you're so excited. Wow. You know, I don't think when we come up with crazy ideas, we don't think that we're the only person amongst 320 million people in this world that came up with the same idea. But, you know, when you're excited, whether it's, you know, what he said about Omas, right? When we're excited as fans and we want something, you know, you think people want to hear, well, that person said it first. Oh, well, I heard it on this show already. Well, oh, okay. Well, I guess let me just put a link up and you could hear what they have to say. You know, we give a shit about these shows. And when we, one thing that is awesome, and I hope everybody realizes this, when we give ideas, understand that we're not on Reddit all day trying to read ideas from other people. Hey, that sounds good. Hey, let's bring it up tonight and we'll make it seem like we came up with that idea. We don't do that. So anything that we ever discuss on these shows, it's because we're fans, because we have respect for everybody that tunes in, and because, you know, we try to think outside the box. So, you know, that's, I think, what makes us completely different. So, and Mish shows a picture of Anna Jay and Jungle Boy, which I don't blame him. All right, so let's move on because we, you know, it's getting late, very, very early. So, okay. The opening of Raw tonight. I mean, look, I know that 90% of you out there, when you heard Austin's music hit, y'all knew that there was going to be a swerve. I was shocked that my fiance thought Steve Austin was coming out. I was shocked looking at WWE panning the crowd, and people were like, now, I don't know if they were just being overdramatic, hoping that they would be on TV, but we did not get Steve Austin tonight. Instead, we got Stone Cold Steve Owens. Kevin Owens comes out wearing the bald mask, throwing a lot of shade Steve Austin's way. I tell you, you know, we've talked about it before that Kevin Owens has lost a little bit of weight. You don't look too bad with the t-shirt and the jeans. You don't look out of shape. What'd you think about his appearance tonight?
No, it was funny. It was a good opener. Everybody kind of knew. I know they zoned in on a couple of people in the audience that had outrageous reactions and such. But, yeah, no, it was funny. Kevin Owens coming out there, mocking him. That's classic. You know, it's a classic setup. You know, it's old school, little Attitude Era right there. And then doing it again, which was even funnier. You know, but yeah, no, Kevin Owens was good tonight.
He wanted a beer thrown his way, and the guy couldn't throw it the right way. So Kevin Owens tells him to go in the ring and hand him the beer. You knew what was going to happen. He hands him the beer. We think that the guy is going to walk off, and Kevin Owens is like, no, wait a minute. And he gives him the stunner. I mean, look, we've seen him hit the stunner many times before, but to watch him actually wear an Austin 316 shirt with jeans and the knee pads and the shoes, I mean, you look at it far away, it kind of looks like Austin giving him the stunner, you know? Maybe Austin would have a few extra cases of beer in him, but I don't know. I like the segment. He trolled the fans good. And then the music hits the second time. And again, fans, because there's the old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. He hits this music the second time, and again, you got the fans. He's going to come out. No, he's not.
Right.
He ain't showing up until Dallas, Texas, 10:45 or 11:15 p.m. Hopefully it's around 10:45, which I know it won't. But I love the opening segment. I think he killed it. I think Steve Austin was probably laughing his ass off. Who was that actor that dressed up? Colin Farrell? Was that him that dressed up as Austin a long time ago?
I don't know.
Chat room, who was it? Was it Colin Farrell? Not that I've ever seen any of his work. Will Sasso. I just threw a name out there that sounded right. Will Sasso. Thank you, Eddie. I don't even know. I can't even picture like Colin Farrell's name. I just thought of a name. I said, that sounds right. Will Sasso. He was good because he actually sounded like Austin too. But yeah. I'm pumped. I mean, it feels like the suspension of disbelief is there that Austin is going to stomp a mud hole in Kevin Owens.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to it. Couple other tidbits. And we're going to start wrapping this up. So as we said earlier, Omos over Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz in a handicap match. We had Rey and Dominic Mysterio over the NXT Heavyweight Champion Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. But the news, the big point, the moment that was big after the match was over is The Miz, who was on commentary and in the corner of Ziggler and Roode, he attacks Rey Mysterio. Did you notice Dominic hitting the stunner?
No, I missed that.
He hit a cutter. No. It was like an RKO. It was like an RKO.
Yeah.
It was more like an RKO. Yeah. But after the match is over, Miz attacks Rey Mysterio. Miz rips off Mysterio's mask. Now, Mysterio's putting a towel over him, but he's acting like Seth Rollins ripped his eyeball out. Like, he's like, you know, rubbing his face like it was burned in acid. But they covered his head because, you know, they don't want you to see his face in 2021. But something caught my eye that I couldn't help but laugh at. This was The Miz cutting a promo in the back afterwards. He's going to give the mask to Logan Paul to put on next week. It's a nice looking mask. But it was this shot that caught my eye. Mish, I mean, I know we had a good laugh when I wore that T-shirt that time, that said shirt.
Yes.
Does my eyes deceive me, or does Rey Mysterio's mask actually say mask?
It does. It does. It actually says mask.
It says mask. Oh, man. That's like my black T-shirt that just says shirt. Oh, man. That was funny, man. But I like the segment. I like the segment.
I liked Miz using Rey Mysterio's mask as a puppet. He's sitting there talking in the back. I thought that was kind of funny, too.
Or not to humiliate the Mysterios. That is the question. I know, but it's just funny on the camera to see it actually say mask. That's freaking fun. What do we think it is? Cock holder? I mean, come on. It's a fucking mask. But I thought that was funny. It actually said, and it's all like embroidered nicely to match the colors. I thought that was pretty funny. All right, couple other matches tonight. Natty and Shayna Baszler over Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley. That was solely to give a little bit of credence to Natalya and Shayna, since they were added in the match last minute. And they want to give a feel that they have a little bit of momentum going into Mania. Finn Balor over Austin Theory. Pat McAfee at ringside doing a lot of distraction for Austin Theory. And as we showed you earlier, him just getting in the face. Austin Theory's like, what the fuck are you doing? Distracts Austin Theory. Finn Balor gets the win. No Damian Priest tonight, which was interesting. I thought that they would set up maybe Priest versus Balor at Mania. Maybe that does happen next week. RK-Bro beating Alpha Academy, who were added to the match for WrestleMania. And after the match is over, Alpha Academy starts beating down Riddle a little bit. Street Profits, we think, are there to make the save. They take out Alpha Academy, but they also take out Riddle.
Right.
So you think Street Profits are turning heel, or you think that's just because of the Mania match?
I think it's more about the Mania match. I don't think that should lead to anything. I mean, it's I can see where people are going with it. It's clearly a heel-esque thing to do, but considering that they're in the match, I'm just thinking it's Mania.
Yeah. One thing I want to mention also, you know, tonight they tried to tease a possible split between Zelina Vega and Carmella. Yeah. They had a backstage segment where Carmella was on her phone, and I guess she's texting about her wedding, and Zelina's like, you know, you're not focused. And Carmella's like, no, I know. We don't have to be pinned or submitted, this and that. So Zelina takes Carmella's phone and throws it. And Carmella gets pissed off. And Zelina actually calls Carmella ugly bridezilla. Carmella calls her a troll. And then we get the shot heard around the world. She smacked the shit out of Zelina Vega. Boom! That was pretty cool. One more time. Yeah. Boom! So we think that they're not on the same page. They're going to lose the tag titles. That they're going to have a massive split and a falling out. But then later on, after the women's tag team match was over, Zelina shows up with the scepter. She cracks it over Rhea Ripley. She uses it. Then Carmella attacks Shayna Baszler outside the ring. That looked awful. Attacked Natty. Basically left everyone laying. And then Zelina and Carmella are having a little bit of a stare down in the ring. Everybody's chanting, fight, 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 thinking we're going to get a fight. And lo and behold, they hug it out instead. So, you know, I know this women's tag team match is a lot of people are not looking forward to. I still think that Sasha and Naomi may end up getting it as a little reward for Naomi. And, you know, obviously give something for Sasha as well. You think?
I mean, it would make the most sense. But, yeah, this this entire build up with Zelina and Carmella is awful. Just awful.
Yeah.
Shayna out there looking like a hazard sign.
Oh, yeah, right?
That was awful, too. It's like the fact that she couldn't rock the black with the spades.
Yeah.
I mean, it made sense. God forbid somebody's outfit actually made sense, a black spade. But now she has gray spades on her back. So whatever, you know. And Natalia is a talented woman, but she really is just holding up the bottom end these days.
Yeah.
Rhea and Liv out there doing what Liv does best, and that's
eat the pin, breathing.
Right, yeah, taking the pin. She was just, yeah, dude. I'm not really feeling this match. I'll be
yeah,
honest.
It just feels thrown together. I would have rather it just. I know they want to put as many people on Mania as possible, but I think they would have been better off. Well, you know what? More I think about it, I don't think anybody would want to see Sasha and Naomi versus Zelina and Carmella straight up. You know,
I think it would have been better if they just did a battle royal. And yeah. That way you could have had these tag team girls have to face each other in a match.
Yeah.
It would at least have been interesting, you know, different. But I don't know, dude.
We had.
Yeah.
This was awful. We had it was supposed to be a tornado tag team match. And it ended up being Dana Brooke and Reggie over Tozawa and Tamina in a matter of a minute or two. Crowd is just not into it. They're into the comedy a little bit with Tozawa and Tamina, more with them with the kissing stuff. But, you know, earlier, you know, do you feel...
They want to see Tamina rock that little Japanese boy's world. That's what they want to see.
Yes, I want what you want. No, I want the fucking 24/7 title. I don't want that Tozawa ass. But it just, I don't know.
How long has she had that ink on her arm? Is that new too?
I have not paid attention, to be honest with you.
I know it's been a minute. Maybe she's been wearing clothes down there, but. Is that an ink new? Can the chat tell me? I don't even know. On Tamina, as well as her left arm?
Well, you know what? Big shout out to anybody in the chat room who could actually answer this right away. And we could tell if you're doing a Google search. We had a chicken match tonight, as we showed you in the clip, in that mixed tag match. It was a chicken match. My favorite chicken match of all time that happened on a wrestling event, one of the participants in the chicken match was Rey Mysterio. Does anybody out there remember the match that I'm talking about? Because I actually do have a screenshot of it here. Does anybody remember the chicken match with Rey Mysterio? Now, I know somebody right now is going on Google and typing in Rey Mysterio chicken match. If you can't write it within 5 or 10 seconds, people don't know. James Pasco, it was not in WCW. All right, time's up. The last time we had a chicken match that I enjoyed was, believe it or not, ECW. It was 9-1-1 and Rey Mysterio Jr. versus the Eliminators, and they actually had a chicken match. Yes, Rey Mysterio with the Hurricanrana on Perry Saturn. That is from East. I think that was House Party 96.
Jesus.
Either 95 or 96. House Party. ECW. All right. We opened the show with Mish wearing the Becky Lynch glasses. And Becky Lynch out there cutting a powerful promo on Bianca. This is my world. You didn't mean to damage me, but I meant to injure you. And you don't want to lose your soul. I already sold mine. I mean, obviously, choreographed, fed lines. But I thought it worked excellent tonight. And you know what I really enjoyed about what Becky was doing? I don't know if you noticed it, but I noticed it. When she was catching her breath, while she was talking, she was taking very, very, very short breaths to still sell some of the effect of the throat injury. And it almost sounded like she was wheezing. I don't know if anybody noticed that, but she would be like, you know, like, you didn't mean to damage me, but I meant to injure you. You know, like she was doing that. And I thought that little bit of detail, I was like, that's fucking awesome. I thought she killed it tonight with the promo.
This promo would have been 100 times better if she did it in a quiet setting in the back. The audience in the background cheering over and booing over everything kind of killed what she was conveying. This should have been one of those spotlight above her head moments where she's talking about, I'll sell my damn soul every night of the week. Like, I'm listening to this. I'm like, dude, and the crowd isn't hearing it. You go back and you watch that crowd. I love Chicago, but they're totally missing it. They are not paying attention to this promo. And when you hear what she actually says, it is probably some of the most vicious crap that's ever come out of her mouth. It is a dark promo. Talking about cutting off her hair, cutting off her identity, who she is. Like, that's deep, man. That's some Charles Bukowski level shit she's dropping there. And yeah, of course it was being fed. Of course it's a script. But I think in a quiet setting in the back, a produced setting, I think it would have looked a lot better. A lot better.
I liked she was sitting in the chair. I think they were trying to get the Edge vibes with it, just without the purple lighting.
Oh, she came out in 12-inch stilettos. She could barely walk. She looks goofy. Look, I know the chick is hot, right? But she did look uncomfortable trying to get into the ring and walk to that chair. It looked like she was praying not to fall on her face, you know?
Yeah. Well, the storyline with Bianca goes all the way back to SummerSlam. And, you know, as we said, going back in before the winter of last year, that all of that, no one has beaten me for 3 years, no one has pinned me for this belt for 3 years, that was all, as we said over and over again, seeds planting that whoever was going to take the belt off of Becky, it was going to be a very big moment. And when Bianca pins Becky at WrestleMania, and that ends a three-year undefeated streak. Yes, she left for a baby, but that's what heels do. Becky as a heel is supposed to be, nobody's pinned me in 3 years. So she sticks to the 3 years, you know. But there is definitely a lot of tension. I did find it interesting when, and I'm not giving us for credit for this. Remember a couple of weeks ago, you and I said that after Bianca whipping Becky, that the storyline should only be where Becky cuts part of her hair off. Tonight in that promo, Becky brought up taking away what is most important to Bianca, which is her hair, and almost pretty much saying that the reason why Bianca is not on Raw right now is because if she's not there, Becky can't cut her hair. And I think that's pretty smart to think out, you know, one step ahead. Like, all right, why wouldn't Becky want to just chop that hair right off? Who knows? Can you imagine if Becky chops that shit off during the match?
Yeah.
You imagine if she, like, handcuffs her to the rope or something and then just chops it off? Oh, my God. I don't think she can. I mean, that it would be too thick. You know, I mean, you look at that braid. I don't even, maybe Brock Lesnar could close those scissors. I don't expect the hair to be cut off, but it's going to be a big moment when Bianca beats Becky. That is a, what, 7 month storyline that is going to come to fruition. So good stuff. And as we said earlier, AJ Styles over Seth Rollins due to interference from Edge. Seth Rollins trashing the announcer's area, calling it bullshit that, you know, he needs this WrestleMania moment there will not be a Raw next week until he gets what he wants. Crowd chanting Cody. So now it's up to WWE to deliver it in a very entertaining, creative way. But I tell you, they put for a random match, between Cody and Seth Rollins, suddenly this match seems really, really strong and important.
Yeah.
You know, so not a bad episode of Raw. So next week we get Brock and Roman that you know are going to tear the shit up. It'll probably bleed into SmackDown as well. So it was pretty good. Benjamin, Seth should have thrown a temper tantrum. In storyline, losing again 2 weeks in a row is WrestleMania moment. Flipping out, you know, why do I have to, you know, do all this just to get a match? Is he not worthy in storyline? He's worthy. So, all right, how long are we going? How long have we gone? We've gone an hour and 10, so we're going to start bringing this home. I just wanted to make mention tonight for anybody that is not aware of it. You know, this person you may not have heard of before. Well, that's too small. That's more like it. Someone by the name of Mike Shields passed away. Worked behind the scenes in pro wrestling, going back not only AWA, but the CWA days. Very, very, very influential person. It was very important to Eric Bischoff early in his career. You know, if you actually look up, he is responsible for a lot of those early days of wrestlers having music videos for the wrestlers. Not only that, if anybody remembers the infamous match, the Tupelo concession brawl that had Wayne Ferris, who you knew as the Honky Tonk Man, and Jerry Lawler and others. If you go back and you watch that 1979 match again, which reminds you of like ECW street fights, you'll actually hear on commentators saying, "Mike, bring a camera over there." And they're talking about Mike Shields. So, you know, name that I know probably 99% of you out there never heard of before. But if you actually do a little research on his background, some of what you see in pro wrestling over the years were actually inspired because of his work. So I always try to show a little bit of, you know, pay a little respects for even those that, you know, a lot of people overlook because they're just not like an important person. So, or a recognizable name. But with that said, right, I think we are pretty much done. Ratings for Friday, Rampage, expectedly low, 398, but that was because they started almost midnight. SmackDown dropped about 3.5% to 2,147,000. And as we talked about over the weekend, Impact Wrestling imploding, down over 50% in 2 weeks and 66% since the Royal Rumble. So Impact is just on an awful, awful streak right now. Awful. Tomorrow night, NXT 2.0, we got a pretty strong lineup. Qualifying match for Stand and Deliver, the ladder match. It's Stand and Deliver for the NXT North American Championship. Tomorrow you have Solo Sikoa versus Roderick Strong. You have A-Kid versus Grayson Waller. You'll have the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Final, Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray versus Wendy Chu and Dakota Kai. We have the Creed Brothers versus the Grizzled Young Veterans. And we have Bron Breakker versus Robert Roode. So it's not the go-home show for Stand and Deliver. We have another NXT episode next week for that. Dynamite Wednesday, what's announced so far is the 8-man tornado tag, which I call Sting's Rules. Sting, Darby Allin, and the Hardys versus Private Party, the Butcher and the Blade. Chris Jericho and Daniel Garcia versus John Silver and Alex Reynolds. MJF will break his silence and talk about what happened with Wardlow. So I think that was pretty much it. Mish.
Yeah, seems like.
Any final thoughts before we jet out of here?
No, no. I'll see you guys tomorrow night on Breakfast Soup on Patreon.
Yeah, should be a fun night tomorrow night. So, Mish, pleasure as always. Have a good night.
I'll see you tomorrow. Take it easy, everybody.
Be well.
Thank you.
Everyone, just a reminder, if you are interested, once again, tomorrow night, we have the NXT 2.0 watch party. It starts at 8 p.m. And remember, this is completely different than what you get on YouTube with a lot of channels. Because if you go on YouTube for watch-alongs and watch parties, you see the host. You don't see the wrestling, and you don't hear the wrestling. Here, not only do you see the wrestling, but you hear the wrestling, and we chat as well. You're not required to be on video. You're not required to be on audio, but it is obviously welcomed, and it is definitely encouraged because, you know, a lot of people, you know, like to lurk or just text in the chat room, and that's fine. But the whole idea of doing this and providing this is to have a few come on the stage and we debate, we chat, we trash talk, we react to what we're watching. So you actually watch the wrestling. You actually see the event and we all hang out and have fun. So if you are a Patreon member or if you're a YouTube channel member, you already have the link. For everyone else, if you want to be part of it, just DM me on Twitter at DonTonyD or email me DonTony@DonTony.com. And just say, hey, man, can you send me an invite for the watch party? And we did two on Friday. We did a SmackDown, and we did a Rampage. You know, and it sucks. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It sucks to get nobody in, like, the AEW community that will, like, plug it or, you know, push it because, you know, their ratings are kind of shitty as it is, and you want to try to get people interactive and energized and have some fun. And I'm not going to say who, but there was like three people that said, hey, could you, you know, repost this? You know, I'm trying to get a whole bunch of people to watch Rampage. None of the three posted it. And they're not podcasters. And I was like, oh, good. Okay. So if you don't give a shit about trying, I mean, at least people are putting in an effort to try to get people to hang out on a Friday night to watch Rampage and chat a little bit. If it's not important to you, then it shouldn't be important to us either, right? So anyway, so I hope to see you tomorrow night. And for our Patreon family, Mish and I will be live from 10 to 11 p.m. And if you enjoyed tonight's episode, smash that like button. And you'd be surprised how much that helps us. It allows us to get a little bit more exposure to others who may not be aware of the channel. So if I don't see you tomorrow on a watch party or Patreon, I will be here Wednesday night at 10:05 p.m. after Dynamite. And just a reminder for our channel members, this Thursday, the show starts at 9 o'clock instead of 10. And then I think next Thursday will be WrestleMania predictions. I might not do it on Thursday. I don't want to do it too early in the week. And I'm certainly think that you all probably don't want it done next Monday. So right now I'm thinking next Thursday will be WrestleMania predictions. So I thank you all as always for the support. Have a great night. All the best. Post a comment, subscribe, spread the word, and we thank you. Have a good night, everybody. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schmucks.
Holy shit. How could I forget the big announcement tonight on Raw? It might have flew over most of our heads. Did I take a screenshot of it? I can't believe nobody reminded me. I did not take a screenshot. Damn, Don Tony, you suck. I will have to tell you. Well, actually, you know, I realized we actually did bring it up earlier because we had the conversation in the past, but I guess it is worthy of a mention on its own. Veer will be making his Raw debut, I guess you call it, on Monday, April 4th, 2022, the night after WrestleMania. You know, it's funny. I'll leave you with this. About, what was it, 3 months ago or 2 months ago, I said, you know, I have a feeling Veer is going to reach Emma territory. And I even spoofed Emma's music into his intro. And I was disappointed at that time. I thought it was funny to hear Emma's music and hearing his intro, and nobody really paid any attention to it online. And then 6-7 weeks later, he surpasses Emma for the biggest hype with no payout. And he's finally going to debut the night after Mania. And that was something, when Mish said that comment before Saudi Arabia, it felt so far away. There's no way they're going to wait until the night after WrestleMania. And lo and behold, Veer is being held until the night after WrestleMania. So, no, he is not squashing Cody. But, you know, there were a lot of people saying, like, who's going to show up on Raw first, Cody or Veer? We may end up getting both of them show up at the same time. Wouldn't that be something that Veer ends up as, like, the henchman for Cody? I'm not saying that's going to happen, but, yeah, I wanted to mention it. I know I kind of mentioned it when I got on that little rant earlier, you know, and I hope, you know, nobody took it personal. I mean, it's just, you know, I hate when we have fun convo and we get excited, we think of ideas, and I always, since 1997, I don't want to be first, I want to be right. But, you know what it's like when you see something like, hey, what if they did this? And then somebody's like, oh, well, this person said it 3 weeks ago. Oh, well, thank you. You know, like, what does it even matter? You know, I mean, I could see if we were like, you heard it here first. MVP will be the manager of Omos. All right, I could see somebody doing it. But if we're like, hey, man, wouldn't that be awesome if MVP was the manager for Omos? You know, you get excited, and then somebody's like, well, you know, so-and-so said it 3 weeks ago. You know, that kind of rubs me, because we get excited as wrestling fans and we come up with our own ideas. And I don't want people to do that on other people's shows. You go on another show and somebody bounces an idea that we talked about months ago, I don't expect anybody to go on that person's show and say, well, Don Tony said that months ago. No, I don't want that either. But I always say, if you don't do it on somebody else's show, don't do it here. That's disrespectful. So We do a lot of work. We spend a lot of time in front of the camera and behind the camera. And one thing you will always be guaranteed on these shows is authenticity. You'll get legit reactions and ideas. We don't bash something just because it's popular. We don't rip things or praise things just because we know that there's a bigger audience if we do that. But however we react to stuff, it is honest, you know, and that's something that I think is a lost art in a lot of shows, you know. So, all right, now I will go. We don't need to play the Goodfellas stuff again. So I will fade to black and I say goodnight. And I hope to see you either tomorrow for the watch party or Wednesday for Wednesday Night Dynamite. So good night, everybody.